Radio Free Readout begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Tuned in to Radio Free Redoubt. This is the voice of the American Redoubt. The American Redoubt is the safe haven and fallback position for God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots that are strategically relocating to the ultra-conservative inland Pacific Northwest states of Idaho, Montana, Wyoming, and the eastern portions of Oregon and Washington. This is the American Redoubt. And I should make a quick correction here. It's not Eastern Washington anymore. It is Liberty State. Liberty State. The flag has been chosen. It is beautiful. It's got the osprey, a bird of prey with a broken sword and a broken chain and a broken sword in its claws. Founded on liberty. That poll. Thank you guys for participating in that poll. There are a lot of meetings taking place and a lot of discussion now as far as moving forward with the 51st state or the Liberty State project. And we have not forgotten about the state of Jefferson up in the northern, four or five counties of California and a few counties in the southern Oregon. You know that the state of Jefferson actually almost became a state. It was supposed to be voted on by Congress, and that is when the invasion or the attack on Pearl Harbor took place, derailed everything. But that is building a lot of momentum, gaining a lot of popularity within the counties. So as the People's Democratic Republic of California slips further and further into the socialist abyss, well, it's given more impetus for those in the conservative northern counties to say, we must break ties with you. And, of course, California, that movement for California to secede from the country, to make its own country, which it already is, really, that is building a lot of steam as well. So very polarized in our country, very balkanized. We'll keep an eye on that. But it is encouraging what's happening in the 51st state, as we call it, the Liberty State, here at the Voice of the American Redoubt. We are here to shed the light of truth on the lies, to inform, encourage, inspire, and motivate you to action in the fight to preserve liberty and our heritage. And of course, we're huge proponents of self-reliance and resiliency. One of the things that you can do really to compromise your resiliency is to allow an invading force to come into your land with arms wide open after being told that this is a strategic plan by them to utterly destroy your way of life, your values, your laws, your entire system, and your identity that makes you who you are. Well, Al-Qaeda, if you guys remember, I covered this last month. They've got this propaganda magazine called Inspire. And Inspire they do. They inspire jihadis to wage jihad, to carry out warfare against the infidel in their mind. And last month's Inspire magazine, if you remember, calls on its followers to target trains in the U.S. and Europe, especially with emphasis on passenger trains and, of course, derailing trains as well. Well, that was well documented. It seems like someone has been inspired. Yesterday, we found out that a major, well, It wasn't major. It didn't fully detonate the way it was intended to, but still it created a massive fireball, burned many, many victims on a train in England. Well, Theresa May is condemning the cowardly Parsons Green bombing after chairing the emergency committee, but says the terror threat level does not need to be raised. The terror threat level does not need to be raised, Theresa May says. And, you know, this is the fifth terror attack in Britain this year. This article here from out of the UK, from the Daily Mail, says the Prime Minister will meet counter-terror chiefs and the emergency services later today. That was yesterday. An explosion on a tube train at Parsons Green is being treated as terrorism. Let's hope so. The new attack this morning is the fifth major attack in Britain this year. President Trump says it's time to start getting nasty with these people. Well, if you're not willing to get down in the gutter and duke it out with these people, you're going to lose. The British apparently do not underestimate, or they do not understand and have grossly underestimated their sworn enemies, or the enemies who have sworn to destroy the English way of life. Closer to the home front, actually in the heartland of America, we've got some other troubles that are brewing right now after this former St. Louis police officer was found not guilty in a murder trial, and the protesters are gathering. They're calling for justice. They're calling for people to fall out into the streets in response. The governor has mobilized, or at least put on alert, National Guard units. They're preparing for additional unrest to potentially erupt after former officer Stockley's acquittal that happened yesterday. So already things are not looking good. This weekend we'll watch this, but man, when the sun goes down, they are going to, you know, there's so many communist agitators that are jumping on board with this and hijacking. The media is going to be definitely highlighting this throughout the weekend. Any chance that they can help contribute to dividing our country, they will be doing it. So apparently he was ruled. The judge said there is just the state did not adequately present its case in a way that was so compelling to show that this former officer showed beyond a reasonable doubt that he, in fact, murdered this black motorist who they had just recently gotten a chase after apparently a drug deal. The prosecutor is trying to accuse the police officer of planting the firearm on the motorist after shooting him, but they didn't have sufficient evidence to prove that. So regardless, although they're calling for peace, there are people in this country that just flat don't want peace. That it benefits them to stir up division, to continue polarizing our country on ideology and race and culture, us versus them. And, you know, the communist agitators will be out. I'm sure Antifa will be all right along there, raising heck. You know, the communist agitators, I think that communist revolutionaries that we see, Antifa and those, they've very clearly identified themselves as communists, as revolutionaries, and have even used those terms to describe themselves. They've made themselves enemies of all that is Americanism. And I propose any self-identifying communist revolutionary should immediately be stripped of their citizenship and then given a choice. Cuba, Venezuela, North Korea, where else? What in the fine place we could send them? Uganda? That's your choices. You're no longer an American citizen. You've identified yourself as an enemy. And then, of course, we might have to institute a program to help those along who are obvious communist revolutionary enemies who need help admitting it. Anyway, that's my perfect world. Get them out of here. You want to destroy America? You don't belong in America any longer. Whether you're Muslim, whether you're a communist, if you have set out to destroy Americanism and undermine our values, you go away permanently. But we have a problem in our culture treating enemies who have sworn to destroy us as just that, enemies. Well, the other enemy I want to talk about, nature. Last week, Hurricane Irma swept through and annihilated several Caribbean islands. This was an amazing thing. And of course, it's out of the news cycle now. But there are people that are dealing with the aftermath right now that are homeless and are facing really essentially anarchy. There's an article here out of the Daily Mail from the UK. Richard Branson's son warns civil unrest. Well, the article is titled Anarchy in the Caribbean. Escaped prisoners and hundreds of looters armed with guns and knives terrorize hurricane-hit islands as police from Britain and France are flown in to restore order. So, escaped prisoners armed with guns and knives are terrifying islanders as they recover from the hurricane. On St. Martin, the regional police chief said a gang of 600 local delinquents was responsible for the trouble. Sam Branson, son of Virgin tycoon Richard Branson, you know, Virgin Airlines, said, it's really sad to say there's a lot of civil unrest. Foreign Secretary Boris Johnson said 50 police officers have gone to British Virgin Islands to tackle the looting. Now, France, which oversees St. Barthélemy, said the police presence had been boosted to 500 amid the lawlessness. And there's tourists that are trapped there. Terrified tourists stranded on St. Martin say looters have started raiding hotel rooms, homes, and shops. Many tourists are locking themselves in their hotel rooms as the only way to stay safe during the unrest. And islanders are taking matters into their own hands, arming themselves with machetes to defend themselves. So, they've got, what, escaped prisoners, hundreds of looters. So, they are really a mess there right now. And what was the island? Barbuda. Barbuda now is what they're calling uninhabitable. That there's not a single living soul on this island of Barbuda. No one living on Barbuda for the first time in 300 years after Hurricane Irma ravages the island. They're saying the damage is complete. About 95% of the buildings are totally destroyed. That's a civilization that's existed on that island for over 300 years. Extinguished. Gone. So they've taken a lot of these refugees, shipped them off to Antigua and a couple of other islands. So it became a sovereign state, actually, in the British Commonwealth in 1981. In July, the population was estimated to be about 94,731 people. 97% of the population living on the island of Antigua, according to the CIA World Factbook. So now, Antigua and Barbuda, there is nobody on Barbuda. The majority Christian and majority English-speaking nation is reliant in large part on travel and tourism has financial services businesses, but tourism is its bread and butter. 60% of their national gross domestic product, is from tourism. Gone. So, Antigua, fortunately, got minimal damage. But they're saying it obliterated Barbuda's infrastructure, flattening all of these. And we've forgotten about it already because this storm was miscalculated at about $150 billion in damage they were expecting to Florida. And they really got off. There's still flooding. There's still a lot of damage. There's people without power, and there will be for days and weeks ahead. As we've all moved along, there are still people without any infrastructure. The Ameron Corps operators who provided emergency communications did not handle nearly as much traffic as the hurricane that hit Texas 2 weeks prior, but they handled a lot of traffic and checked on people. We got status reports out of there, and it was really encouraged. They did really encouraging. They did such a great job. So proud of them. They responded. But over in Barbuda, nothing. There is nobody even on those islands right now, or on that island right now. So it will take years and years to try to rebuild that infrastructure. They need about $200 million. But their gross national gross domestic product, they make about $1 billion a year. So they're calling on the international community to help them, and those that were able to evacuate are now stranded on another island, and they're trying to make way for schools. And there's a lot of lessons to be learned from these type of situations that could help in, you know, survival, economic collapse, pretty much any other type of disaster that you could find yourself faced with. Including the looming economic crisis that they're saying is coming to the United States at some point. And that's not withstanding any help from North Korea firing off nuclear EMP, as they're promising. And they just fired off another one yesterday over Japan again. Now, South Korea immediately responded. Within 6 minutes, they had missiles in the air. While the North Korean missiles were still in the air, South Korea had responded with a missile launch that they fired intentionally out into the ocean, just as a demonstration of how rapidly they could respond, how quickly they're ready for a counterstrike. So things are escalating there. We're watching that very closely. Remember, there'll be wars and rumors of wars. Do not be dismayed. All right? We know who we belong to. But we should be following current events, not out of anxiety, but to prepare ourselves so that we can be ready to spread the gospel when the people who right now are not really susceptible to it, they're not very receptive to it. Those are opportunities. Those are opportunities to spread the gospel, to spread hope to people whose souls just are not ready to receive it. So be ready. Be ready. Be prepared. Be self-reliant so that you have adequate food storage. Someone would be much more receptive to the gospel when you can hand them a bowl of soup and feed them and put a blanket around them, right? But if you yourself are drowning, you cannot help somebody else who's drowning. So, put on the proverbial life vest yourself and then be able to help others. That's what preparedness is all about. It's not a selfish thing. It's not about me and mine, although, especially as men, heads of the family, you have a duty and a responsibility to provide for the security of your families and then your communities. So that's why we push self-reliance. Now, what's the other thing here I wanted to talk about? There's some pretty cool stories. You know that we are huge advocates for the persecuted church and the underground church overseas, where they're facing massive persecution. And that type of persecution could come to the United States. There are many indicators of a rising central power that has less and less regard for the rule of law, which explains some of the people within our government, many even among unelected portions of our government, which means unaccountable people within our government. Now, right now, we're celebrating because Trump is in power. He has the presidency. But remember, the pendulum is going to swing the other way. Imagine who they must be preparing right now to run as president, who will be the next president if Trump is not reelected. And even if he is, the momentum of the left is growing. You can expect a very powerful and influential leftist to come into power at some point in our country. So use this borrowed time to prepare yourselves logistically, spiritually, politically, regionally. But there are Christians right now that are faced with persecution around the world. Now, we developed it's a thumb drive that's available at the Amron Gear Store, the American Redoubt Gear Store. It's $15 and it's called the Underground Project. If you had to put your pastor underground and hide him against a tyrannous regime, how would you go about doing that? And we cover that. Lots of security, lots of underground tactics, techniques, procedures. And there's more if you are a regular listener of Radio Free Redoubt, especially our Sunday evening podcasts, which are on hold during the month of September right now. But those thumb drives are available. They're $15. And we've had many missionaries actually get their hands on the Underground Project and use that as material to help prepare them for going in to help the churches in hostile countries. Well, we follow this pretty closely, and I follow the voices of the martyrs who do a tremendous work with the underground church. Now, we've donated and supported these ministries that help the underground and persecuted church for quite some time, something very near and dear to my heart. But another thing that's very near and dear to my heart is radio, of course, especially the resistance radio, the underground covert broadcasting into occupied territories, encouragement and information for those trapped behind enemy lines. And we've based Radio Free Redoubt kind of on that concept here in the free zones in the American Redoubt. A lot of times, the message that really resonates, our message really resonates with those who are in what they consider occupied territory. They're in Seattle, they're in California, they're in Colorado and the very liberal bastions and on the East Coast. And it really resonates with them because they feel like they're not alone when they are vastly outnumbered. Well, here's a couple of other testimonies. I came across this from One News Now, countering terrorism in Nigeria with the gospel. An international radio ministry working in Nigeria is combating radical Islamic terrorist doctrine by faithfully broadcasting the hope of Jesus with gospel programming in native languages. According to the United Nations International Children's Emergency Fund, UNICEF, the past year has seen a fourfold increase in the number of children, especially girls, used as suicide bombers by terrorist group Boko Haram. A UNICEF spokesperson told the Voice of America that dozens of children, 55 girls under the age of 15 and 27 boys, were forced into terrorist missions that target markets, schools, universities, and displacement camps. Don Schenk, the director of The Tide, Global Radio Ministry, says, even though the level of human suffering in some parts of the world can seem overwhelming and insurmountable, the gospel of Jesus Christ enables opportunities for healing. And one of the things that their ministry partners do there in Nigeria, he says, is that they organize a banquet at the end of Ramadan and invite Muslims to that because, of course, Ramadan is a time of feasting. And so they'll reach out and try to build relationships and share the gospel. So they have a radio ministry that's putting this information out and changing lives. And it's really cool because right now over in my latest Voice of the Martyrs magazine that just came out, here's a testimony of this was a teacher who taught Islam. He was given a book, basically just the book of Matthew. He became fascinated with it and devoured it. And then he found that his name was Khalid. He was touched by a Christian radio broadcast in his native Yemeni dialect from Yemen. And he said these broadcasts are an effective way of reaching into closed countries. And he was affected by this, became a Christian, and his wife later became a Christian. And they did this in hiding. And he would sneak up to his rooftop, tune in his radio and tune into this radio broadcast that was being broadcast from free zones into hostile territory behind Muslim enemy lines in Yemen. And it's changing lives. It's very, very encouraging. So we're going to post some of those resources on our highlights and resources posting, just like we do every week. All right. I want to thank our sponsor, Riverfront Suites, for sponsoring this half hour. Riverfront Suites is located on the beautiful St. Joe River in beautiful St. Mary's, Idaho. If you need a place to get away, to lay your head, support a Patriot-owned business, and check him out at riverfrontsuites.com. This is John Jacob Schmidt. You have a blessed rest of the weekend, and we'll talk to you next Saturday right here, same place, same time. God bless.